Saturday was a lovely day. The crew on duty had fired 178 rounds before 7 a.m, so I let them sleep till noon. Not much firing on Saturday, but Stack's armour came in. We were on guard again Saturday night. The troop commander told us the fighting was very heavy. We were using divisions and brigades at a time in quite small areas. Now to Sunday, the 25th of February. Once again, we got ready for a big fire plan and stacked up the ammunition. At 10:30 a.m, the gun position officer told me to move my platform as the tracks were digging in and there was a danger of being stuck. He had a director ready to pass me a new angle and was waiting. The driver was taking shells aboard and stacking them ready for loading, a thing he'd done dozens of times. I told him to start up and reverse right stick. As the tank moved, there was a loud explosion behind me, and I remember thinking, one of those shells has fallen and exploded. The safety devices haven't worked. The driver got out the tank like a flash of lightning. I shouted, "Get me out of here!" And Brigadier Frank Lismore was there. Good lad, old Frank. I knew my right leg was broken, and I thought I'd had it. It looked as though it couldn't be mended. I told them to watch the right leg and never mind the left. It was okay. I was actually surprised 2 days later to find it was fractured. Before I'd been carried 100 yards, the MO was there asking how much morphia I'd had. I said 2, somebody else said 1. I felt the prick of the little morphia tube we carry with us. I was lifted onto a jeep and driven onto the road, asking the orderly all the way how far to go. The ground was rough and I rolled a bit. After that, it's all mixed up. The MO telling someone I was going to the CCS, a bloke in an ambulance with his face covered in bandages giving me water. He used my nickname and I asked who he was. He was a driver and had burned his face. In and out of ambulances and rooms, I saw the doctor setting my leg and have a fair idea of seeing 2 blokes pulling hard on my foot. A major was standing alongside as I looked up and he looked so stern, I daren't moan. The next thing I remember is waking up in a big room. A tube was fixed to my left elbow connected to the bottle hanging above, blood transfusion. I never knew when they took it out. In the same room were 3 wounded Jerrys, and I wondered what the hell the war was over anyway. That was in Nijmegen, and I must have left there Monday. I can remember a bloke stripping things out of my clothes into a little white bag. I told him to take the guns off my sleeves. Brass guns are hard to get. From Nijmegen by ambulance to another CCS in Hertogenbosch, where a Canadian nurse carried on the penicillin injection started in Nijmegen. She had 60 men to do, and gave me 2 or 3 without waking me. Then I knew I was going back to England because of all the labels flying about, and on Wednesday went to my ambulance to Eindhoven. Before that journey we had a shot of morphia and I felt lovely for the first time. Canadians were very good the whole time and looked after as well. Sometime in the afternoon we were lifted aboard a Dakota ambulance plane and after a very comfortable ride landed on good English soil again. The trouble was I couldn't walk on it. In Innisfil we were checked in, given tea till we nearly burst, checked out into ambulances. The ride to the entraining station, Swindon, was horrible. The little Red Cross ambulance bounced on a matchstick, and the same applied from the train to this hospital. One bloke was moaning all the way. And as we arrived at Barnsley Hall Emergency Hospital at Bromsgrove, Worcester, at about 5:30, now I find exactly what was wrong with my suspension. Left leg fractured, right knee joint had it, and the crowning touch, the right leg, 3 inches shorter. So now I'm in the hands of doctors and nurses with nothing to do for the next few months but wait. But I can do that. On reading through this scrappy tale, I find I've made no mention of our little friend Clara. She joined this gun crew before I did, while we're in Normandy, but she joined as an addition to the menu, I'm afraid. She is a speckled brown hen, the mascot of E subsection, and we carried her until Laigle in France, where we decided to leave her at a farm with the other hens. In 5 minutes, she'd had 5 fights, so we said, "Clara, you can fight, you can come with us." She had a very uncomfortable time, poor hen, sitting on the viley floor of the tank while we rattled along. When we settled down to a more steady life on reaching Antwerp, we made a perch in the tent, and there she'd sit all night, fluffed out like a big ball. She's very tame now, taking biscuits from our fingers, letting us pick her up and stroke her. She is very well known now. The troop commander often asks how she is, and if she's laying. When we stayed long enough in one place, she would lay, and we took turns to have the eggs. The day before I got hit, a piece of shrapnel went through the tent just above her head and blew her off her perch. But she was okay. May she live long, or Little Fat Clara. Sometime after, I had a letter from Frank Lismore telling me that soon after I left, they lost the old hen when she flew through the window of a billet. They reckoned that some nearby troops had had her. He said that when I left, they seemed to lose their luck, and somehow that made me feel better. Several of our families used to ask in their letters how the hen was getting on. General Halfacre, a Londoner who used to look after her most, was determined to take her home with him after the war. He would have done too.